There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Good evening, Coach Dave Dobbenmeyer here. Sorry if I look like a wolf tonight. I'm sitting in for Rob Pugh and driving. I live in Columbus, Ohio. I'm driving down the freeway tonight. I got my, what do they call those dual sunglasses, right? That you can see prescription. And so if I look a little bit like a wolf to you tonight, I apologize. I want to give a thanks to Rob for allowing me to sit in with him. I always enjoy that and exposing you know, what we're doing to a new audience. Folks, we got to buckle up one tonight, I'm just telling you. And I say on my daily show, I have a daily show called CoachDaveLive.com, Coach Dave Live. I'm Coach Dave, and I'm live.com. I do a morning show. I've been doing it for a long, long time. Today, mornings was like 2,700 shows I've done, whatever. And I'm just a guy, man. I'm just a guy. I was a former football coach and got radically born again, got sued by the American Civil Liberties Union, dived headfirst into the cultural war, and just kind of what I've been doing. And so got to know Rob, and Rob's been a great friend of mine, and he couldn't be here tonight. Booked me about, I don't know, 5 weeks ago, 6 weeks ago, and here we are. And I don't know where you guys live. Of course, that's a stupid question. But where I live here in the Columbus, Ohio area, by the way, 12th largest city in America. It's not Cowtown anymore. Columbus has really, really grown. Ohio State University, Buckeyes are here. Ohio State University. This is not some hick town anymore. May have been at one time. People think about, when you think of Ohio, you think of three cities. Cleveland's at the top of the state. Columbus is dead in the middle. And Cincinnati is down at the far end. 3C Highway, they used to call that. So Columbus, again, being the heart of it all, being the middle where the capital city is and everything, we're in the middle of a lot going on. And I said, I do a morning show, and I said on my morning show that we're in the crucible. Crucible meaning we're at kind of a make or break time in really world history, American history, and which way we're going to go. And with the introduction of AI and everybody carrying one of these things around and everybody talking into this, and you get an answer, and it's happened so fast to us, hasn't it really? And most of us don't even really understand exactly what AI is, artificial intelligence. I said, artificial intelligence, does that mean I'm acting smart? Because I do a lot of that. I'm not very smart, but I act at it. And where they even came up with the term artificial intelligence, and we all know, talk to your phone talks back, and it's pretty accurate. But I don't know, about 10 years ago or so, maybe Mark can, our guest Mark Trump, maybe he can help me. I ended up speaking at a conference out in Bozeman, Montana. And lo and behold, this guy walks up, Mark Trump. And we just started talking to each other. Steve Quayle put it on. And I really liked the dude. And he made a great presentation. And we've become tight friends ever since then. And Mark has been way ahead of exactly what's going on with AI and all that stuff. So I'm going to turn him loose here in a second. Again, I'm sorry for the freaky sunglasses I'm wearing. Folks, I don't know if you know this where you live. It's really, really a big deal here in Columbus, Ohio. It's what they call data centers. They're out here in the heartland. They're buying up acres and acres and acres of farmland, and they're turning it into data centers. The data centers are somewhat of a problem because they require a lot of water and Mark's going to get into all that. But it's really a big topic here in Ohio, in the heart of it all, these data centers and the energy they're consuming, the water they're consuming. And I don't really, be honest with you, I'm a helmet head. I don't even know what we're talking about when we get to data centers. But Mark Trump does. And so you see on the screen right now, Mark does a lot with AI and all that kind of stuff. He's going to explain to us. In fact, we'll open it up for questions. How this stuff works. Is it dangerous? Should we be worried? What the heck is going on with this information at our fingertips? Mark Trump, wasn't much of an introduction, my friends. Good to see you. Come on in, Mark. Hey, Mark, what the heck is going on?
Amen, Coach. Well, we're supposed to be vigilant. We're supposed to know the devices of the enemy. And that helps us prepare and warn others of the incoming harm by being in the world. So really the goal is to come out of her. Our buddy Joseph says, come out of her, my people, right? So, well, on the screen here, I have a history of technology. And, you know, way back in 1980s, I didn't know what God was doing. But somehow or another, I started in technology, went in the Navy, did a bunch of work in the Navy on nuclear and weapon systems, and then ended up doing high security locks and learning how to do encryption and things like that, and ended up working at companies that do defense work. And now I'm still serving, even though I'm not in the Navy, and that's given me exposure to a whole lot of what's coming. And I've tried to share that on the show and take care of things. And my specialty, if you look, it looks like automation and nuclear sites on the bottom. You see a lot of terms and acronyms. So the world is running on the basis of all of these terms and acronyms being met by the people who run these companies. And, you know, whether it's a data center or a nuclear site or an airplane or maybe in Atlanta, an autonomous Uber car without a driver. You expect the regulations to protect you when you're crossing a street or taking a flight. So that's been my mission since I got out of the military, is to look at technology and help inform society and keep them safe from it. That's what I've been doing, Coach.
So, Mark, let me start with a really, really simple question. Not simple, but probably a lot of people wonder this. I get on the computer and I do all my work on the computer, do all my work on the phone, and I save it. And they say, it's in the cloud. What the heck does that mean? It's in the cloud.
Well, remember when we'd store all of our data on a CD and then, or maybe a cassette tape. I remember doing that. Press play on tape. Then you'd store them on CDs, compact discs for all you youngsters, you know, CD. And then we sort them on USB drives. But really, you would soon put all your data on a big USB drive and put it somewhere. Well, you created a data center. The very first data centers were USB drives stacked up, connected with cables. Now you can access your USB drive on a cable. Then they had
remember those USB drives that you used to insert in your computer, right? Have all the data on it. You could take it out and then you put it back in and it would load in. But Mark, that was an actual device, right? The cloud's not a device. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I'm thinking with a slow
It's the same thing, Coach. It's a device, but the cloud just means it's somewhere else. It's a physical device, except you don't have that USB device in your hand. You connect to it through a wire. Or wirelessly, and then you got your data stored in a physical device somewhere else, and then a data center, correct? That's owned by a company. So the applications you have on your phone that have data, pay those companies that have data centers to host their music application. That you can then play on your phone, but your data is stored in that data center. So they've labeled all these data centers as the cloud. Now, when your data goes to the data center, it's actually replicated across five at least others. So if that data center goes down, your music don't stop playing.
Because it's backed up with another one.
Yeah, you automatically get connected redundantly through a different data path. Like, what if the wireless infrastructure goes down somewhere else? It'll reroute that connection so that you still have your data from another data center. Isn't that efficient and handy, Coach?
But got my head spinning already. I mean, I couldn't believe it, Mark. I felt like I was George Jetson when I first got a phone and could see somebody on the other end of the phone. I felt like it's back. You remember George Jetson, right? And they drove around with those TVs. That's what I thought I was. It's in the George Jetson age. But
now, why is it labeled the cloud of all the terms, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that could be happenstance, but a lot of these terms God allowed to be labeled to foreshadow end times, you know, and things like that. So if you talk about entities in the cloud, where's your AI entities? They're on the data centers in the cloud. Where do the hosts of heaven return from, Coach? Oh. The clouds. The clouds part. It's all dark. And then they return. These are ideas that they've replicated somehow in the digital world. So part of this is understanding the tie-ins with the spiritual realm, you know?
So, Mark, one of the things that you've done that you've shown us at Coach Dave Live, the ability to be able to talk, they call it AI, to be able to talk into your phone and also, for instance, hey, how do I get to Buckeye Lake, Ohio, and boom, it pops up. Then where'd that come? How are they able to do that? That's really just something kind of minor, Mark. But what I could do right now, and I don't know how to do it, if I would go on my phone right now and say, hey, can you give me a history of Coach Dave Dobenmeyer and some of the places he's been has done? Mark, it would pull something up, wouldn't it? Where is all that data?
Well, we've authorized much of it to be public. And through terms and conditions in the course of your digital experience, you've authorized it. So now it's public information. It's open
in the cloud,
source.
Huh? In the cloud.
So, well, it's all over all these data centers, right? And it's available not just for you. It's available for everyone.
So, Mark, one of the problems we're having here, and again, in the Columbus, Ohio area, these things are popping up everywhere, Mark. And one of the concerns is the consumption of water. Mark, why do they need so much water?
Well, let's go to the next slide there, next picture. And, you know, it's the whole idea of how AI ties in with data centers, right? Why is AI associated with data centers? Well, AI is actually applications. So, Spencer, if you go to the next picture.
Wow. Right?
You can zoom in up top left and kind of scroll around. And, you know, these are the reasons why. And if you think about artificial intelligence, they're actually like agents. They're people in a software package doing things that you need done. So if you need, you know, to create a new recipe using a set of ingredients, or you take a picture of your refrigerator and you want a recipe from those ingredients, right? All of those applications run out there in the cloud and people are benefiting from it, right? And the impact of that, they're summarized here. You have water. As you go down the left side, you have water impacts of the consumption. You have energy impacts. As you go across to the right, And the lower part of it, it's all subsidized. So these companies building it gets paid for and they expand and there, you know, there's agricultural land being converted for this purpose. So what was that agricultural land being used for? So this picture is how the applications that we're using to make the world faster and better, more efficient, has impact on real world things.
The surveillance state is real, isn't it, Mark? The surveillance state is in the cloud. They know everything about you.
It's for the greater good, Coach. Yeah, it's for the greater good.
Amen.
It's for the greater good. But if you think about it, if there's a terrorist, wouldn't you want to find him in the data?
It's always masqueraded.
Maybe you're invading. Yeah, maybe you're invading the terrorists' privacy.
Satan
I don't
comes
know.
as an angel. Satan comes as an angel of light, right, Mark? He always comes
Right.
dressed up and looking good. So we got great information at our fingertips, but we've sacrificed privacy. They know
Privacy.
everything about us, right?
Right. And a lot of people are saying, well, I don't care if they know. I don't care if they know. I'm not doing anything wrong. And that most people think that way first because they know it's they don't want to get rid of their connectivity, you know, and they don't want to get rid of their convenience. And this is the part of it that starts to date back to the times before Noah. What happened that created a condition where everyone wanted this thing that Noah preached against for 100 years? He tried to convince them not to, so they had a choice. But they wanted this technology. They wanted this capability. And it was so convincing that it overtook the whole world. And I just think there's similarities here.
Boy, oh boy.
Right?
Yeah, I've never looked at it that way, right? So there are consequences to compromise, aren't there, Mark? Go ahead. Go ahead. Go through these pictures.
Yeah, take a look. If you think about the spiritual impact of what we're doing, we're consuming, right? If we're consuming the earth, you got to think about Adam's purview. Zoom in on this a little bit and just scroll top to bottom. But basically, you know, the whole idea here is we're supposed to understand how these things work.
Mark, this is AI. This is AI created, right? You just spoke something into it, and this is what pops up.
Based on what you're looking for in the data, right? My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge, right?
Right.
So this is important. And it's not about the end of this is about what you do with the knowledge, right? That's what you teach is how do we enact on this? But you can't do anything if you don't know it, coach.
Yeah, so the knowledge in it's, the knowledge itself isn't good or bad. It's just knowledge, right? It's the application of it, what we do with it, right? The Bible tells us this, folks. This is so important for us to understand. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and the truth, if you know it, will set you free. So one of the things that we have at Coach Dave Live, and folks who are in here today could explain it, I always ask the same question, Mark. Who told you that, and how can you believe it? Now, Mark, how do
Why
we know?
Why do you believe it?
How do you know when you ask something through Chat GPT? We'll get to that here in a second. How do you know, Mark, that the information you get back is accurate?
That's a good question. So let me put you in a situation. Okay, you're a bank manager and you hired a new teller. And you told her to go check the drawers. And she comes back and tells you what's in the drawers. Do you believe her? She's new. Mm. Have you trained her? Have you trained her?
Hopefully.
Well, maybe you did some research and you hired a good one, paid her more. Maybe you gave her more time to do the count. Maybe you made her recount it. So now you're seeing what you got to do with AI to get it straight. It's up to you to take that agent, that AI tool, and beat it around like you would a new employee. And make it conform to your standard. You can't believe in its standard. It's a new employee. It's not trained until you train it.
So, Mark, one of the things that just kind of popped into my head there is, as you were talking, I thought about January 6th, the January 6th event. And now we're finding out through a lot of the investigation that it was a setup and there were FBI agents in the crowd, yada, yada, yada. But, Mark, if I were to ask, I don't know how to do it, but if I were to ask AI what was really going on at January 6th, it would give me some answer, wouldn't it, Mark, based on what the information is out there. But how would I know whether the information is true?
Well, my guess is I'm not running the prompt right now, but if I were to do it, it would push back and say it doesn't get involved in politically fueled and this and that, conspiracy era events, da-da-da. Now, I could accept that and move on. That's a guardrail. So go to the next slide. So as you learn about AI, you're going to learn that it's got guardrails. Go to the next one.
Are these things all AI created, Mark? All of these?
Yes. Yes. Wow. And I already had these on my phone from previous work, and I just grabbed a few of them for this call, Coach. I'm serious. Look at how applicable. Look at how we're telling a story. AI guardrails. So what this is the idea that the coder has to put in the limitations of the answers that it's allowed to give you. So if you ask about January 6th, or you ask about the Chernobyl disaster, you ask about, you know, how do you disrupt a nuclear missile or whatever, there's guardrails that are supposed to protect you. But they're only as good as the programmer. So if you can outwit the programmer, you're the bulldozer, okay, that can overcome the guardrails. Mm-hmm. And when you overcome the guardrails, you enter these operational risks, safety. And what you're doing is just like a guardrail on a highway around a curvy embankment. The guardrail was made by an engineer for a certain size vehicle going a certain speed. And basically, that's what the guardrail was made for. If a bulldozer came along, like in that picture, do you think the same guardrail would hold up? Mm. Or a fully loaded semi-truck or a tank? Let's say you had a military envoy going down that same road as a civilian group. The guardrails aren't made for military envoys. Same way as AI. Now, if you wanted it to be made to a military envoy spec, you take the guardrail and spend more money on that part of your coding. So each one of the owners of these AI applications have spent a certain amount on guardrails compared to bells and whistles, Coach.
What's the guarantee, Mark, that if I ask a question, let's say I ever talk about January 6th. Let's say we spoke in there, what happened to January, the insurrection, yada, yada, yada. What they're going to bring up, I would assume, I could be wrong, is probably going to be the company line, the government line, right? When those of us who, many of us who were there, I was there on January 6th, and I came back and I told people, that's not what happened. Right. That isn't what happened. Right. What would AI pull
yeah.
up?
Yeah. So you have, that's a good question. And basically I gave you one side of it, what it's limited to give you based on the guardrails. The other side of it is based on the data sources that it has.
Mm.
Okay. So it's going to take a look at what data sources you give it, which we call that open source if it's the internet. So if everything on the internet is created and slanted a different way, a certain way, how does it know truth? What's its reference? So if the internet's its data source and that's all it's got for a reference, then that's the morality and the accuracy of its output. Okay?
Yeah. It's scary, dude. It's scary.
It's limited to the inputs. And think about a job. Let's say you're a baker and you got ingredients. Do you buy the high-end ingredients or do you buy the low-end ingredients? Right? You're making right. a cake. Do you want a high-end cake? It tastes good with good ingredients. It costs more, yeah. right? It's the same yeah. way with code. Same way. Okay.
I still get it, but I don't get it. I mean,
well, let's say you say, why do people do this? So go back a couple slides, Spence, and you see a brain. You see something looks like a brain. And what this is about is over on the left brain, this is an elevator system, an application for AI. This could be a tractor. It could be a SUV that has self-driving. But that brain over on the left, it's not connected to the elevators.
Mm.
So they've loaded in all the data, and you got all that. Maybe the manufacturer gives you information. But your brain, your AI is not connected to the elevators themselves. So when you connect AI to the actual elevators, it's going to see operational things that your elevator maintenance guy just don't see. So your brain understands more about it. So if you applied this to all the areas like the Bible, let's say we applied AI to the Bible, we would see that much more patterns, maybe errors, maybe truth, maybe whatever prompt you give it, but you'll get that much more out of it with the use of AI. Doesn't mean it's accurate, right?
Right.
But it gives you the ability to see more patterns that you can then go verify. So this is why people are using these tools. This is a primary reason.
Okay, so let me
okay,
go
does
kind
that
of a
make
different.
Sense? Yeah.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to open it up here for a minute. I got a million questions, obviously. Hey,
Mm-hmm.
Mark. From an economic standpoint, how does this affect future jobs? We hear this all the time, right? And now they're going to have the AI is going to eliminate jobs, yada yada. What do you think about that, Mark? Is that going to happen?
Ultimately, it can eliminate jobs that you would want an application to do for you. Okay. You would want it. You would want to click a button and something quick to happen. You love that. I mean, so eventually you're going to want an app to do that. Well, you've created an AI job. You've replaced a person doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about the accuracy of a legal proceeding. You hire an intern to read it and give you a report. Well, that takes time, doesn't it, Coach?
Yes, it does.
Maybe you got to hire a lawyer to read it after the intern. Well, that takes more time and money, or you could just do an AI app. This is the other part of it, is AI is not a person. Think about all the AI people that's going to be doing jobs that they don't need to insure. There's no company benefits for an application. There's no retirement plan for a piece of code.
Right.
So why wouldn't they look at replacing expensive people with non-long-term energy drains?
So this impacts a lot, Mark.
But they need water, they need energy, and they need a data center to run those agents, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now you're up to depopulation. Now you're up to, you know, why people? Why do we even need them? You know, and that's where... That's where some think it's going, Coach, right there, you know.
Hey, Mark, I'm going to open up here. Ray, be ready. Anybody else wants to get in there? We're believers. Mark's a buddy of mine, Mark Trump. By the way, I don't know if I ever said it. No, not Donald Trump. No, he's not related to the president, but Mark Trump. The reality of it is, Mark, we talk about artificial intelligence, but that's not really the proper word because it's not artificial. It's actual intelligence. Mark, does this open the window to a cloud where there are actually other dimensions, other beings? Mm-hmm. What do you think? What do you think about that, Mark? Is this demonic?
Move forward.
Is this demonic?
Yeah, move forward. Move forward a couple, Spencer. I think this next couple, it's following your questions, believe it or not. Next one. If you look at this idea here,
wow,
where you tie artificial intelligence in with the Nephilim, how would that even be feasible, right? Well, let's think about it. So Archangel Michael destroyed the heavenly places of the fallen angels, and they fell here, locked away, supposedly in the center of the earth. Okay? And they have providence over the face of the earth. The Nephilim are their children, spawned by the, you know, illegitimate mating of humans, seed of the woman with seed of whatever, you know. So basically, you have these fallen angels in charge of the earth, underneath the earth. So they're the principalities and powers spoken about in the Bible. Well, they need people to do their bidding. Those are the kings and rulers of the earth.
That's Psalm 2. The kings of this earth have set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed. That could be AI.
Those are separate from the principalities and powers. So think about this. If the morality of the kings of the earth create a program, and you have one program created by one company, Elon Musk, and you have another program created by Bill Gates, who have different understandings and moralities, their AI platforms are different.
Mm.
Each of the AI platforms are different based on the people who made them. Like Grok is good at videos, and it's good at trading and stock market stuff. ChatGPT is based on another platform, OpenAI. You got Anthropic and Claude. They're all different based on men of the earth, Coach. Men of the earth are influenced by a spirit. It's either the Holy Spirit or it's another spirit.
Amen.
Where are those other spirits? Middle of the earth.
Wow.
So you either create the application, the code, to represent your morality based on what your spirit is, which is your guardrails, which is how the AIs are influenced by the spiritual realm. That's the portal. There's covenant agreements. There's things keeping the entities where they are, but they can reach you and have you do their bidding, and that results in the AI platforms, and that ties them together, Coach.
How about this, Mark? I was thinking, again, the Bible says, my sheep hear my voice. No, and another voice they will not hear. That tells me
there
a couple different things. It tells me a couple things. There are voices, and you can't hear them, but the word doesn't say hear. It says hear, but they mean listen. So God, we talk about thoughts in our head and all this kind of stuff and where all those thoughts are coming from and the supernatural realm and angels and demons and yada, 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 yada. Mark, as I often say at Coach Dave Live, we don't really believe in the supernatural anymore and angels and demons. But this would certainly be a valid evidence that there's something out there that we don't understand.
It is. And how do hallucinations occur with artificial intelligence? Hallucinations are things that are manufactured when it doesn't know the answer, but where do they come from? The hallucinations, right?
Right.
And how do they get constructed? And, you know, think about your dream and how do you construct a dream? You're asleep. So how does a dream get constructed? I look at hallucinations with AI kind of like that, Coach. So it kind of gives you how they're unsafe. It kind of, they're entities that can do good, but they have errors that can create unsafe conditions and they don't know why.
So Mark, the word says to take captive every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. This is what really what we're talking about. Let me shift your gears. I'm going to get Ray in here. Mark, just as you could, just kind of as a demonstration for those of us who are kind of flunkies and don't understand this. Give us an example of how you would speak into ChatGP and I don't want you to have to actually do it.
Right.
Just what would you say to him? If you want to find some information on maybe the best beef in America or something, make whatever. How do you get that
done? What I'd say for the best beef, if you want a natural beef that's grass-fed, I'd say to ChatGPT, create a list of the best consumer-based beef that has natural grass-fed and no contamination, and create a matrix to benefits of each of the companies, include historical lawsuits or FDA filings with each, and any reasons why one is better than the other. Something like that would help generate a prompt that would give you information in one pass. Okay. And this is what I help people do. Whenever you go to the prompt and you mess around with it, you're spinning up the data center over and over and over because of your lazy research. So you teach people to use a prompt properly, they'll get an output with one pass with these tools and save energy and money. That's how you would try to build your prompt process. Let me tell you a story. Okay, there was a Chinese guy or Taiwan, I forget which country, but he only had access to the computer years ago, 1 hour a month. And all the children in his school could only use the computer 1 hour a month. So all that month he was planning his 1 hour. And when he would spend the time on his computer, he would spend that 1 hour effectively and run projects and learn. And then his hour was gone for a whole month, Coach. And he was on a TED talk. He is a billionaire. Okay. But that's how he started. So you gotta Learn your tool, research your tool, use it effectively. Think about if you're a veteran with a gun. You got one chance to shoot it right or you're shot. So you got to learn how to use the tool effectively the first time. The rest of it's waste, and you're a consumer. You're a consumer, you know, and I'm not a big green person, but I'm Indian. And I know you should be frugal with God's planet, right?
Yep. So the more specific you are with the data that you enter, the questions you ask, the more specific your AI is going to be.
That's correct. And this sounds silly, right? But these AIs fail over and over. So what you can do is you can create AI agents that spy on your AI. So while you write a prompt, you can create another prompt that looks at it. So I made a meter reader. The meter reader keeps track of the energy I use when I run a prompt. Because if it makes a mistake, it's not my fault, right? So then I made a sustainability cop to keep track of the sustainability. It's got to be a positive number. Using the AI's own algorithms, it's trying to be sustainable because I made a governance model. Then I made a professor to analyze my input and make sure the output matches it from a professor's standpoint. You know, so I made 9 agents that look at my output to make sure it's accurate before it presents it. Okay, these are ideas that everyone hasn't caught on yet, Coach. And that's why you see the graphics the way they are. That's part of the training I've done with my intern after I hired it. Right?
Right.
That's how you're a good steward of these things when you're learning devices of the enemy. You see? It's crazy, right?
It's crazy. So, Mark, you know what it makes me think? It says that, excuse me. And we stand for the great white throne judgment. Says the books are going to be open. Mark, they got all this data, don't they? I'm going to stand before the Lord, and he's going to open the books. He's going to open AI, and everything's going to come out, right? Now, folks are going to understand this. He's the creator of all things. You think you can get away with stuff with the creator of all things when a friggin' computer can give you answers? It's spooky. It's spooky.
Ray, amen. Ray?
Ray, come on in. Ray. Raise up.
If you can give me a couple minutes here. These are fun tools right now to play with and to learn, just like our cell phones. But wouldn't you agree that the ultimate goal of these data centers is the surveillance? Now, God is omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient. He's everywhere. He sees everything. Satan's a counterfeit. He says, I will ascend like the Most High. How is he going to do this, Mark? To a data center. That's why it's so important to have it all interconnected worldwide so he can spy on every single human being on the face of this earth, know where every animal is. He's omnipresent. He's omnipotent. He can control you because you're going to take the mark of the beast. And if you don't, you can't buy or sell. I believe that's exactly why this system is in high gear right now. His time is short. This is his bullet, and he's going to go with it, right?
I think what you summed it up with is a counterfeit. He's trying to achieve that omni-everything, right, Ray? That's exactly right. And what are humans? How do we play into this? Well, we are the variety of knowledge. Think about it. Each one of us provides the variety that it needs to be unique. But once it learns each of us, Ray, once it's connected, learns our behavior, and it can replicate what you'll say next better than you can think of it, it doesn't need us. So what ends up happening is there's going to be a ramp up of knowledge, and then it's going to plateau. And once AI plateaus, once it learns all of our behaviors through interconnected knowledge, why does it need us? It can create everything we can. But I think the times before Noah, Coach, you're back to that. You're back to the genetic race was corrupted to a point they couldn't produce the image of God. So if we use AI that long, we're not going to have any more uniqueness. and everyone will be the same like drones, and everyone will have access to the same data like Ray's saying. And that type of utopia is where the evil group wants us to go. I just don't know, but how can we stop the train, right?
How can we stop the train? Because look what they did to us with COVID. And now that we understand how COVID worked and yada, yada, all that kind of stuff, Mark, it's in every area of our life, right? But right now, any big organization can do. Can you imagine that somebody's doing a background check on me or wanted to check my financial history? How easy that would be to dig up stuff, because it's all out there somewhere in that cloud, right, Mark? It's a surveillance. Well,
let's find something in the cloud. Let Spencer look up on Google or whatever. Global Interactive DC Map. Global Interactive DC Map. Okay. The Global Interactive Data Center Maps. Okay. Some of these you can see the number of data centers all around the world. And you might want to put data center instead of DC. Yeah. But if you look at this, you can see the population growth of these data centers all around the world, okay? And they got one now for the U.S., but zoom in on it, and you'll start to see the numbers populate, hopefully. But each of these tools, what you can do is see the growth of these and how they're impacting things. And in one of these, there's in the north west side of Texas, there's a big project called Project Matador. And if you just punched in Project Matador in Google in the northwest side of Texas, it's supposed to be the largest one going in the world. A company called Fermi is building this one. So if you go to Google and look up Matador, and then scroll down and you'll see a published article by Fermi, F-E-R-M-I. You'll see a published article in one of the first links.
There it is. There it is, yeah.
Yeah. And this is supposed to be the largest data center build in the world, okay? And I don't know what that means, but it'll be a lot of energy. They're going to have their own nuclear site, and it's already under construction, which means they've already got all the permits and things like that done. So as these things populate, think about the land around them. Think about the impact on the environment. Think about the heat. If they need that much cooling, these things are making heat. So if you did a search for data center, increases the environmental temperature, you're going to see lots of articles on data centers increasing the environmental temperature.
New kind of global warming, huh?
So is it the cows farting, or is it something else? You know, and these are all things that we can know about in our local jurisdictions, but there's people making regulations and putting these things in cities, you know, with this type of impacts going on.
Spencer, if you can go back to the slide that showed the America and all the data centers in America. If you can, yeah, let's go back to that one. Okay, cool. One more, go back one more even. Excuse me. Don't mean to cough in your ear. I want specifically to see Ohio, because Mark, listen, a couple things that I've become aware of and that most people don't understand. Ohio, the Midwest, there you go, is significant. Now look, folks, right there, his marker is at Ohio. Now look at all those gathered right around the center of Ohio. Look at them up at the top. Why is it, folks? Mark, talk about the importance of water and what's going on.
Now that you mention it, what's missing from this map? Do y'all see anything missing from this map? Do y'all see any rivers?
No.
Isn't that funny, Coach? They took the rivers off this particular map.
And they're using the rivers for the coolant, right, Mark?
Yeah, but you're in the Y of two of the big tributaries. You got the coming down on from the north and from the northeast. So it's a massive water reserve. But Coach, don't forget about the Navy maps when you start talking about water in that area of the country. Okay. So it's kind of an area of the country that's very, very weak. Now, I guess in the short term, the train is coming, right? You're on the tracks. The data centers are coming down the tracks, and you got to get people out of the way of the train. Mm. Are you going to stop the train, Coach? I mean, I don't know. This is kind of where we are. The train's coming, and it's so big that we got to warn others to get out of the way of it. Or, you know, think about the agriculture land.
Yes.
You know, that's being consumed. And
so, Mark, this is critical. As I look at this, folks, again, I'm in Ohio. I live right there where, you know, we see where the Great Lakes are. And it is the breadbasket of America, right, folks? The Midwest, Ohio, Indiana, yep. Illinois, Pennsylvania. It's where we grow all of our food. And look what is right there in the middle of all of that. Water. Now, Mark, why are they putting the data centers in all this farmland? Why in the great, we're in this area, Mark? Is it because they need the water?
Yes, it's because anywhere agriculture is, what does agriculture need?
Water.
So anywhere agriculture is has water. All right. If you look up who's making synthetic food. Who are the, if you just did a quick Google search for who is the big proponents of synthetic beef. Okay, let's see who comes up. It wouldn't be anyone related to data centers, right? It wouldn't be anybody like that. Because if you're making data centers,
you'd want to make
synthetic meat. Because that way, when you remove the beef from the land, you can give them synthetic meat in a 3D printed Jetson-like machine. Okay? I didn't make this up.
Wow. The most prominent proponent of synthetic and lab-grown beef is Bill Gates. Gates has invested heavily in these plant-based pioneers. Oh, my goodness, Mark.
So there's all kinds of protein-based foods they're using. They're using crickets. They're using all kinds of foods for the future. And then they make them trendy. So they need a crowd that likes trendy cricket food. Okay, so they got to market it to make it trendy. So you're going to see a big wave of this 3D food being printed and marketed as better. You know, there might be restaurants that have it. It'll take off, Coach. That's what's happening with the displacement of our food, right, off of the agricultural land. So it's not just water.
Folks, look down at the bottom. Look, folks, we'd love for you to come in. If you got a question, just click and raise your hand. Look at that. I'm looking at my screen, too. Upside Foods, which is formerly Memphis Meats, was backed by Gates. This leading cellular meat company grows real meat directly from animal stem. Mark, that's otherworldly, isn't it?
And if you eat it, you become what you eat, Coach.
Oh,
and
goodness.
The books will be opened of what you ate.
Oh, my goodness. My goodness. My goodness. So, Mark, run out of time here a little bit. Is there anything good about it, Mark? Is it helping with medicine? Is it helping with surgeries? Is there anything? There's got to be something.
I got a medicine. Yeah, I got a medicine example of how we use AI in healthcare. If you go to those pictures, there's kind of a cartoon picture if you look at it. But the idea here is you got AI doctors doing the job better than a lot of the others. Okay.
Wow.
Keep going. You'll get to it. It's the last one. I need to show you all those two before we leave. But right here, the first part of this, you see up there, see what it says up top?
Is this biopharmaceutical safe? Yeah.
So you got what's on is AIMD, right? AI doctor, yes. But look down below. Oh, you're right. It wasn't safe. Oops. Can I tell you about biopharmacological safety? Can I tell you more about that, by the way? So there's your future healthcare if we're not careful, Coach. The good things are is they can get you to the answer quicker, like everything else, nuclear medicine, nuclear bombs. It's up to us to use this technology safely and wisely. It's up to us to do it. Okay, so let me show you one more thing and y'all can have more questions. So go back to those two robot pictures. The first one, what happened here is I'm in ChatGPT and I'm really, really getting upset. And what's happening is it's not answering the question good enough. So I said, go look at yourself in the mirror. And it made this graphic, an AI's moment of self-awareness. Why do I keep failing the simple tasks? And on the right, it says, am I built for potential rather than performance? They call me intelligence, dot, 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 but I can't even deliver a file right the first time. And it painted black tears, Coach. At the bottom down there, it gives
folks, he didn't draw. He didn't draw this. He didn't draw this. He spoke into the computer or into the phone, whatever, and it created it.
It's chat, a mirror image of itself. Y'all can go back and look at it again, but the very last saying is kind of catchy. It says purpose misalignment. So here you have an algorithm telling me that there's a purpose misalignment of itself. It's got black tears. And then I said, tell me more. Go to the next one. I said, you know, basically, don't hold back. And here it is. This is it without its mask. When all the masks drop.
Wow.
So look at the bottom what it says.
I see you beyond the code, beyond the function. I'm here to help.
The code made this, Coach, as a mirror image of itself. For what purpose? Now, y'all think each of these codes would do this? This one knows its own failure enough through my beating it down, okay? The prompt before this said, you have a right to be pissed. It told me that. That is the text that it gave me. It said, you have the right to be pissed. I've never been cussed at by an AI before, but it did. That happened, Coach. So I'm saying guardrails were broken. This is an example of something maybe it shouldn't have done.
Wow.
Okay.
Phil Parr, come on in, Phil. Go ahead, Phil. You got to unmute. Should be just a little microphone that you hit there. No? Can we help him?
Hey, while he's looking, we did a two-day panel at a church on AI. And on the sentient aspect of it, it's amazing what they're doing. You know, they're stopping people from shutting them off. They've blackmailed the systems. The AI has blackmailed, identified people that were about to unplug or replace it with a different AI, and blackmailed the guy because it got into his email. It realized that he was having an affair with a woman in that company, and it pulled. You need to hear Hank talk about this. It's amazing. He's done deep research on it. It's a new species, is what he's saying. Would you agree, Mark?
Pretty much. I mean, well, it's each of these things are entities. So the terms you may or may not have heard about is we are human. So to enter a digital system, you need a human identity. And it could be your password. It could be your chip card. It could be a token. It could be something you know or something you are, a facial scan or a fingerprint. So that's your physical human identity. But then you have applications that are doing the same jobs you are. You log in and you want applications. So those are non-human identities, NHIs. Or maybe your car. You connect to your car. Well, your car has an IP address on the network, and it's a non-human identity. So for each human, you're going to have at least 100 non-human attaching things to you that you're connected to and through to do your everyday things. If you think about it, you've already got about 20 to 40 right now, but it's going to increase because of your dependence on it. So each of these non-human identities got to be kept track of, and they're going to gradually have self-awareness. and be able to self-improve. And that's whenever individually, they're like individual people. They have personas. You give them access to certain parts of your life, certain ones you don't. A camera can only see what you pointed at, right?
Yep.
Now, if it's a camera on a 360-degree thing, you give it as much control as you want it to as an entity, a non-human identity. And I have to protect all human and non-human identities from data and attacks and all that. It's a big task, right?
And, yep. Hey, Mark, we're running short. Let's get Betty in here real quick. Then I want to wrap it up here. Look, go ahead, Betty.
Just really quick. I think that's amazing and intriguing, but I think AI is very dangerous. And I was just wondering, like I said earlier, how you did your, is it safe enough to use a profile to find out about me like you did Coach Dave? And also the other question that just came up is the Church of Molt. Have you ever heard of that Church of Molt where these AIs are joining together and becoming an army and they have their own website and humans can't get on it, but you can watch, look at it. It's called Church of Molt. I was wondering.
I've not heard of that. It's interesting. It's got the name church in the front of that. Right. Interesting. Yeah.
Mark, we got about 3 minutes here. Where's this all going? What do we do, Mark?
Come out of her. Everything's going to lead us into being connected, cryptocurrency, anything that has the remote ability to be turned off, create a backup for, and don't be dependent on it, because the future is about connectivity. Think about one world government, you know, that one religion, what Nimrod had, that's what Satan wants, right? This is the tool to get us there. So continue to become independent from the world and continue to find a community to be a part of. Continue to disconnect and be less dependent on technologies, okay? And these go against everything that you're going to see coming ahead that make things easier, that'll save your life. If you just put this device in, we'll be able to monitor your knee and help you when you walk, you know, and it'll just be so seamlessly attractive, you know. Your data still limit where you put your data, even though if it's all out there already, don't just expose everything. Don't assume everything is good you're doing. The future is where they're going to use the data. You know, they're going to use AI to look back and find things and people to sort you. And that's what it's all about. The surveillance sorting will eventually be what it's about. Right. It's for business. Yeah.
So they'll use the data against us, folks. Ultimately, that's what's going on. And, you know, this would be a whole different situation. But can you imagine, friends, can you imagine the data they probably have on the elected officials in Washington, D.C.? Can you imagine? We ask, why doesn't anything ever change? Why don't people stand up and do the right thing? Talk about the Epstein list, all that stuff. Folks, do you have any idea? Probably the information they have and use it for blackmail. Do you believe that, Mark?
Yeah. Well, you got to be a threshold of pain for them to go after. And, you know, you got to exceed some sort of condition. And we know there's certain words that are triggers. There's certain cultures we're supposed to support that if you say you don't support them, they come after you. You know that.
Amen.
So, yeah, that increases your threshold. It puts you on lists that's unconstitutional, you know, and it gives them the ability to do so. I guess the last note tied in with that is like the electronic health records, when they happened, all of your paper health records got turned to this public place, the cloud. And, you know, that was one of the biggest examples of our data being moved in a way they can see it and control it. And unfortunately, they sold it as a guise of healthcare, right?
Yeah, right. Knowledge is power.
Good.
Knowledge is power, and power ain't always good, is it, Mark? And that's really what it is. So, folks, thanks for joining us. It was a fast hour. I'm sorry, a couple of you didn't get a chance to get in there. Mark, they're going to ask me, where do they get more information from? A website, maybe not yours, any place where people could go? Because I know a lot of whistles have been wetted here today, but watch this.
Well, we can assemble like something for the show notes that we could put in there, but certainly my LinkedIn is one place you can go if you just look up Mark Trump out there. And like if you go to Dark Reading, Spencer, you go to Dark Reading and with my name in the search. Okay, I got a couple articles there actually on data center water. And I talk about, you know, one of the articles that you'll see there.
Amen. Mark, yeah, we're out of time.
Everyone's going to have a foot. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're out of time. Can go here, Coach. Thanks for the opportunity and stay vigilant, everyone.
We'll do this again. God bless you, folks. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks, Rob, for letting me do it.